Is the Chris Abraham Show.
Hey there, this is Season 6, Episode 15 of The Chris Abraham Show. My name is Chris Abraham, and it's only 10 minutes to the No Agenda Show, so I'm cutting it pretty close. But I can always catch up on the beginning. So it's 13:53 on Sunday the 19th. I'm walking in my brand new Pegasus 40 that our Team England it's a beautiful day. I squandered 90% of the day and I'm only getting out now. I had breakfast and I watched some dumb TV. I think there's a show called Stark or Shark or something. And I watched all of last night's Saturday Night Live via YouTube. And so clip by clip. And Jason Momoa was on there and he said, mahalo nui loa. Or did he say aloha kako? Or anyway, he spoke some Hawaiian, or as we say it in Hawaii, Hawaiian. Do we say Hawaiian or do we say Hawaiian but Hawaii? I don't know. Either way, today's episode is a follow-up of the conversation I had like dozens of episodes ago, which is as a 6'3" man who is between 220 and 350 pounds, and now a man who looks 75 but is 53. I have done this forever. Like, maybe in college. In college, I called it pretty boy syndrome, where I would just sit back and allow and never really pursue dating opportunities and just sort of sit back and date the women who are bold enough to talk to me, right? So I've always been extremely into consent, like aggressive consent, where I give all the power of the dating opportunity. That's not true it's not true for Wendy Gottlieb. It's not true for Michelle Nolan. It's not true for Monique Puff Moore. It's not true for Liz Humphries. But everyone else, it was just sort of allowing the dating opportunity to happen in sort of a passive way. And Mark always called that pretty boy syndrome, which is to say you just sit back and let the opportunities come to you. And I don't feel like it was an arrogant thing. I feel like I've always considered dating to be highly anxiety producing. As an only child who's happy to be alone and doesn't really and considers the company of other people in kind of a steady state way to be extremely exhausting. I really need to be coaxed into the water. I need to be told the water's fine, the water's warm, the water's safe, the water's nice. And if I don't imprint on you immediately, like I did in Mark Harrison was with me when I was at the Australian Embassy. And Wendy Gottlieb and her friend came in, and I saw her all the way across the room, and I was literally a smart bomb, and I went right over to her. I saw her, my jaw dropped, the wires in my head got crossed, and all I could do, I didn't even communicate with Mark. I just saw her, and I walked over. And that was probably the second boldest I've ever been outside of fighting the entire universe to get Michelle Nolan. That was an extremely multi-year pronged seduction strategy that was very aggressive, very expensive, very... I think I broke every rule in the man book, in the Chris Abraham book, and the Chris Abraham book of ethics and everything. But I wanted that badly. And I'm not calling Michelle a that. I wanted that relationship. I wanted that relationship. If I had the wisdom that I do now, then I think I probably would have been able to hold on to her, but she was so far outside of my definition of safety and comfort. She challenged me so much in terms of my small town Catholic boy concept of morality and normalcy and all these other things that, like, her truth kind of broke my brain. So that's not good. And that's all on me. She was nothing if not always honest to a fault. Not to a fault, but to me, I felt sometimes things are so honest that they can be violence. They can be weapons. But I don't believe she ever attacked me, if you will, emotionally or otherwise, with, like, her arm up and her words being a dagger, the way my mom always did. So back to this. So yesterday I was surrounded by beautiful women. I mean, it was just coincidence, but, like, I ran into my beautiful barista at the library, and I went to the meetup at Lion Hall. I went up to the No Agenda meetup, and there was just beautiful women everywhere, and I always actively rely on what I learned as a scuba diver, what I learned through experience as a scuba diver. A scuba diver in Hawaii, where scuba diving in Hawaii, you're surrounded by large marine animals such as Hawaiian green sea turtles and manta rays and eagle rays, and there are dolphins, and there are pilot whales, and there are sometimes even humpback whales. There are large underwater papio and ulua. There's tuna, all kinds of things. And as a photographer underwater, which I was, there's no such thing as a zoom lens underwater. The closer you are, the better, because of just the way water works, right? Water is liquid, and it has particulate matter, and it doesn't work well. And also, you can't use a zoom really well underwater. because there's too many moving parts, and you need, at least in those days, we didn't run housings. We ran a type of camera called the Nikonis. And you would put a fixed length lens on the Nikonis, and the only things that you had were a couple knobs for I think one was for focus, the other was for f-stop, right? Anyway, so I learned very quickly that in order to get good photography, actually my dad taught me this, even though scuba diving is always a contest to see who could go the deepest. The same thing with freediving. Everybody wants to go deeper and deeper and deeper. Might be a phallic thing, but when you are a photographer, anything below 30 feet or one atmosphere, 33 feet or whatever, one atmosphere, you just lose color. You lose reds. Everything turns to blues. You need to be more reliant on your own flash or your own source of light. And then underwater, you need everything to be as close to you as possible. Otherwise, you have a boring photo, like every other tourist. You have a boring photo of something in something like a gray silhouette or a blue silhouette or a black silhouette in the distance that you have to point at and say, look at that, that's a pilot whale or whatever. So you need everything to come closer to you. In those days, it wasn't illegal to chase after, it wasn't illegal to chase after Hawaiian green sea turtle or seals or whatever, dolphins and so forth. Now, thank God, you can actually get in big trouble if you pursue otters and if you pursue various and sundry animals, especially green sea turtles. So what I learned, and this is a really hairy dog story because I've told this story before, what I've learned from the following scenario. So my dad and I used to be dive buddies when he wasn't diving with Mary or one of his other dive buddies. I was his weekend dive buddy. And we'd throw our tanks into the back seat, quote unquote, of his 1974 Triumph TR6 in British Racing Green. Throw our two big ass dive bags into the trunk. That might be where my love of bags come from. My dad, right? There was dive bags in our life together, camera bags in our life together, gear bags in our life together, all with regards to photography. I think my first love affair with a bag was with my Domkey camera bag. Anyway. So, we'd go scuba diving, and this one time I really remember, I had bought free diving fins, which are super long and allow you to go super fast, right? And they are rubber full foot. They're not like, you know, regular fins, which are just straps on the back of your ankle. They're full foot, sized to your foot. And then there's a meter long or so floppy fin part, flipper part. And this is used to get you through the water really quickly when you're free diving on a lung full of air. But I use this everywhere. And they were a meter long, a yard long, blue, with black rubber. And I used to chase, what I used to do is I used to chase the hell out of these green sea turtles. And what they would do is they were always faster than I was, of course, but I surprised them because I could keep up. And so we're in this, always in these amazing races that would result in going in a circle, and they would just keep right ahead of me and look behind them, like over their shell, like over their shoulder. And they would just keep in front of me, and they'd kind of they'd kind of paddle in a circle, ignoring what's in front of them, because they were amusedly, and they are like puppy dogs. They're not like, they're not NPCs. They're not automatrons. They had amazing, quirky, and unique personalities. And they, for being cold-blooded animals in cold water, they were peppy and quick and playful and smart and active and engaged. And so I used to play this game of chasing them, corralling them into my dad. They would go in a full circle, and then they'd go around and around and around and around. They'd literally bump into my dad. It was like watching Coyote and Roadrunner. They would be like looking back at me as I was chasing them, and then they would literally take an eyeball forward, and then there's my dad with his Nokonis, wide-angle Nokonis, two giant flash arms, pop, and he would catch them. They'd be right in his face. It'd be awesome. But I realized that would burn the hell out of my air supply. Air supply. I'm all out of air. I don't know what I'll do. It should last an hour, but I burn through it quickly. I'm all out of air. I can't dive anymore. I've used it all up. Now I need to go back to the boat. So, I realized that the best way to do it, and it really worked, and this works in hunting, in any type of photography, it works anywhere. If you just stay still and quiet and relaxed and chillaxed and don't buzz with anxiety, you can attract things to you. They will see you not as a threat. They'll see you not as Chris kicking the hell out of the water to keep up with you. Even though you're playing with me, doing that kind of chasing of Hawaiian green sea turtles is decidedly against the law now. Thankfully, I am the asshole. I thought we were playing, but apparently you can shorten their lifespan, so we don't want that. Although, you know, they live 300 years, so, like, it's all relative. Anyway, so I learned that if you get into sort of a quasi-meditative state, moray eels will come out to explore you. Dolphins will come down and figure what's going on with you. Green sea turtles will even come and bite at your hair as though your sun and blonde hair is maybe some form of kelp. Everything starts to come out of the coral reef and figures out what you're up to and why you're just sitting there and why you're not being an asshole. You know, do you have an interesting secret? Is there something I want to get in on? Why are you playing it so cool? And that's the way I get to spend time hanging out and talking with beautiful women of all ages. I just don't chase beautiful animal life anymore. I just try to be relaxed and amiable and friendly and charming. And also, I also try my best to seem appealing at a distance. I think Mark taught me this. The best way to become more appealing to someone you don't know or even someone you're attracted to is to make other people think that you're fabulous at a distance. So, like, if you're at a bar and you're like angry and quiet in a corner with your nose in a smartphone and you got nothing going on, like, that's weird, right? That's antisocial. That's not very cool. Hey. You caught me recording a terrible podcast. Blah, 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 blah. Have a good day, man. Good to see you. I didn't know you could walk. I only see you sitting down.
Me too.
Yeah, I've got legs. So last night, like, there were just attractive people, and I just kept being as funny and charming and friendly and as engaging as I wanted to. And I just stayed in one place at the bar, and I got to end up talking to all the pretty girls. Eventually, all the pretty girls wondered what's going on with this old codger and the black t-shirt, the weird black chest rig, the shorts in a cool Lion Hall bar, and the shock of white hair, and the strangely, for a 53-year-old, wrinkly face. And just by existing and being friendly and open, the beautiful pilot whale came to me, the beautiful green sea turtle came to me, and the same thing with my lovely friend Michelle, right? I don't chase after her. She's got stuff going on. Like, I want a girlfriend like a fish needs a bicycle, so I just am like, hey, I see you. Then I'm like, is she busy? If she's busy, I'll just move over and do my work. If she looks up and smiles, I'll stop and say hello. I'm not going to just sit my ass down with her. I need her to explicitly, in every step of the way, say, please step closer. Please step closer. Or, always happy with someone pulling up a chair. I don't mind. You can invade my space, but I'll never invade yours. Same thing with, what's her name? A beautiful little petite Ethiopian woman who is now like 8.5 months pregnant. Beautiful, 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 beautiful. Even her. Like, if she's busy, I'll just walk right by her. Go sit down, get my stuff going. And if at some point we don't meet at the cafe, ce n'est pas problème. But if I see her look up and smile at me, then I will engage in conversation. And I find that in a way, because I'm so not thirsty or hungry or horny or desperate or interested, I have an amazing way of getting to spend time with the most interesting, lovely people without, inshallah, without coming across as a hungry, thirsty, pervy, creepy, like middle-aged weirdo. And I want my beautiful Claudia, high school senior friend from Barista in the neighborhood, I want her to, you know, see me as just a cool dude, right? Not someone who in any way sees her as anything but a niece figure. And I want Michelle to see me as a neighborhood chum, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. To me, at this time in my life, it's the antithesis of the entire idea of, oh my God, I'm being friend zoned. Now, actually, I rush the friend zone. I try to get into the friend zone as quickly as possible and then camp out there. Because I say to myself, okay, let's say theoretically that I could, as a dog, let's say I could catch the car. Chasing the car is fun, but holy shit, what if I ever catch a car? I don't want to catch a car. This dog don't hunt. This dog just wants to, you know, hang out and chillax and be around the most beautiful sea life in the entire world. I don't want to catch that beautiful yellow-tailed tuna. I just want to take a photograph. When it comes to the beauty of people, I just want to enjoy their presence. I don't want anybody to think that I'm with harpoon or spear. No spear gun on this guy. Just a camera. And not even a camera, just eyeballs. And I'm a man who has aphantasia, which means my mind wiring is incapable of developing a spank bank. So if I spend an hour with you, I am incapable of putting you into my AI. I am incapable as human being of capturing you and turning you into something kinky, weird, or naked. So you just exist in an ephemeral state while I'm looking at you. And the moment I stop looking at you, then you just become descriptors, right? So that's it. Very strange, but I find my life much more enjoyable. Maybe not as, you know, quote unquote, rich as people who dive in feet first and get all dirty in everybody else's business and end up being in a platonic orgy of people's dramas. But I'm more like, I don't live in the, I've never been one who can actually live in the coral reef. I'm only a visitor to the coral reef, right? Like, I might be a migrational, I'm a lonely blue whale. And periodically I come upon a beautiful coral reef and I get to spend a little bit of time with a beautiful Hawaiian green sea turtle or an eagle ray or a manta ray or a whale shark or a spinner dolphin or a bottlenose dolphin or a pilot whale or a porpoise or anything else like that. So I'm just me. I'm a lone but friendly blue whale, just kind of migrating for migrating's sake and just kind of wandering around in shallow water and looking all the pretty fish around me. Amen, amen, amen. And on that note, I think this was Chris Abraham Show episode, is it 16? Yeah, 16, episode 16. I've already put episode 15 in the can, so if I said that this was episode 15, I misled you. And I don't want to lie to you because I love you, and I'll talk to you soon. Mahalo, aloha, and ciao.
Thank you for listening to The Chris Abraham Show. Make sure you subscribe so you don't miss any future episodes. Until next time.